Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to Obey the Puck Show. I am the host. I am the above average comedian, the best thing alive today. Second to you, the Angry Spatula. I'm Dick Altico. You are
Kelly. Angry Spatula.
Angry Spatula. Oh, you're very angry today. Actually, you don't care.
Grr. No, I don't really care.
All right. I'm mad, but I'm going to handle this like the gentleman and host that I am. Mostly because I have there he is right now. We have somebody calling in that's going to talk to us about this.
The teddy bears?
Not the teddy bears.
Oh.
We'll talk about the teddy bears later.
Okay.
Yes, later. Later. It'll be fine. Yeah.
I like the teddy bears.
Yeah.
I really like them after this.
Look, there's a teddy bear over there.
Yay.
Go get that teddy bear.
Okay.
Go away. Good girl. No, anyway. Interesting turn of events this weekend in the NHL.
Yeah,
you feel like a bitch of a team.
We were just minding our own business, watching a hockey game and live tweeting, and all of a sudden things went like crazy.
What, were we minding our own business?
I was minding my own business.
Oh. And the footage is, do you have a link to the articles I could post on Twitter while we're talking about it. Although, if you haven't seen me post it enough the last couple days.
Yeah, I think you covered the linkage.
We'll link it anyway. I'm the boss. Anywho, the Boston Bruins and the Pittsburgh Penguins had an interesting turn of events on Sunday, from cross-checking to a knee in the head to a punch in the face while on the ground. I'm going to bring, our only guest, but a guest that's, he's been on the show. This will be his third appearance on the show. Paul Baker. Huh?
Two more times and he gets a free sandwich.
Great. That's great. Paul Baker from StadiumJourney.com. Paul, what's going on?
Hey, free sandwiches. I love it.
I knew it.
Oh, crap. Don't forget to get your card punched.
I didn't get a punch last time.
No, I got it. Don't worry.
No. I don't think it's you. You're probably trying to steal a sandwich.
No, yes. God knows. If only you've had one of her sandwiches. and you have the game fresh because you watched the game on DVR. You're a Bruins fan, so you would watch the whole game. Unfortunately, Kelly and I seen highlights and seen 20 other people talk about it, including people I don't really respect. So I was really looking forward to talking to you about this. What's your take on the whole Boston Penguins thing that happened on Sunday?
Well, you know, it's a shame that such a great comeback by the Bruins and such a game it was overshadowed by all this stupidity. Because the Bruins really came back, scored two goals in the final minute, and, you know, won the game. But, like you said, I didn't get to watch the game live. I was busy covering another game. But, you know, due to the wonders of technology, I got to watch on DVR, and, you know, you get to watch it again and again, all the fun parts. And really, all the stuff everyone's talking about took place really early in the game, in the first period. After the first period, it really calmed down, and it was a much different game after that.
Yeah, they got.
But as far as my take, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
Okay. You know, both these teams have reputations around the league. Boston is seen by a lot of people as a bunch of thugs, and Pittsburgh is seen as, you know, a bunch of weasels. And both teams lived up to their reputations on this night, I tell you.
Well, you didn't pull any punches. What about the one question I want to ask, because I asked Dean, who everybody who listens to the network knows who that is, but I asked Dean his opinion, being that he's not a hockey fan, being that he would look at it with fresh eyes. And the Neil knee that he can't really tell, was it a matter of not stopping his momentum? Was it a matter of him moving towards a puck? He can't really decide if it was on purpose. What are your take from somebody who's seen it a couple times?
100% intentional.
Okay. All right.
100% intentional. And the ban actually, the Shanna ban came down on him today. He got five games for that. And Shanahan actually said in his review that he had plenty of time to get out of the way. He was looking directly at Marchand laying on the ice and didn't alter his path at all. In fact, if you watch it, he directed his skates towards Marchand to make sure he made contact with him. So I think five games he got off really easy in my book.
That's another – go ahead, please.
I was wondering, I didn't see the video release from the NHL. What did they say in regards to Neil's previous suspensions?
Yeah, they mentioned it. You know how he sums it up in the end? In summation, this is kneeing.
Right.
I think he got off a little easy because Marchand didn't get hurt, but they did mention that Neil has been suspended twice and fined before, so he is a repeat offender.
See, I'm glad you said that. Here's my problem with the whole thing. This is me without hating on the Penguins as much as I'd love to just go off and tell you how much I hate them. Without all that, past all that, hometown visiting BS. My problem with this whole thing is, on either side, I don't think there's going to be enough suspension or enough punishment on either side.
I agree with you 100%.
Well, yeah, the games is fine, but the money is just salary, right? That's how it works in the NHL. They can only be fined their salary.
Yeah, whatever games they miss, I guess that counts as their fine. And they mentioned it in the press release for Neil. I think it comes to $180,000, somewhere in that range. I may not have that right, but I think that's what I read.
So here's my first question for either one of you. If you get suspended, is that an automatic you're not getting paid?
Yeah.
Or is
I
that a separate thing where – okay, all right, because I thought maybe it was separate. You get suspended, and also you're not getting paid.
No, if you're not playing, you're not being paid.
You're not
if you're not
paid.
Playing for injury, that's different. But if you're not playing because of discipline, then yeah,
right,
you forfeit that money.
My problem with the Neil thing, and again, this is a regular. I'm going to play hockey analyst for a podcast here. My problem with the Neil suspension is I think you need to, being that it's a repeat offense. And you've seen the man in quote-unquote action before, I think you need to take a little bit more money from him. Just a five-game suspension is not going to mean much. I don't think it's harsh enough.
I was surprised when it was announced that he was getting the phone conversation, which has a maximum of five games. So that was all that there could be out of the phone conversation.
I'm surprised the face-to-face, because Thornton's getting a face-to-face, isn't he?
Yeah, Thornton's getting a face-to-face, and that's well-deserved.
And it's deserved. My first question on Thornton to Paul, and I'm asking because he's a Bruins fan, justified or not justified?
Not justified at all. He went way over the line, and, you know, he pretty much has said as much. I don't know if he's just trying to spin it for, you know, to reduce his suspension, but after the game he gave a pretty candid interview where he says he knows he crossed the line and, you know, he expects to be punished accordingly.
No, I saw that, and he really, really looked sad. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's like when I was a kid and I did something really stupid, my father would go for the, you know, way onto the deep end and go, well, you shot him. He's already dead. The bullet's out of the gun. You can't take it back now. You know, I mean, you punched his head while he's laying on ice. I mean, you know, if there's a big HD camera in your face showing you doing this, it's over.
Yeah.
Now, my third question for either one of you, and then you two can go on this. Because I wanted to spend a little time, but not a whole episode on this BS, because there's happy hockey news, too.
Teddy Bears!
Happy hockey,
yes.
Isn't that all we want? Happy hockey.
That'd be nice.
The slash that broke Kelly's leg, is that going to be has that been what's the word I'm looking for? Has that been brought up by anybody?
I don't think it's being reviewed. There's no conclusive evidence that that was the slash that broke his leg. It was that was a pretty harsh slash, but like I was reading something about that in particular today, and someone made the point, and it's true, unfortunately, that you'll probably get 10 or 12 of those a game. There wasn't anything.
But there's a slash that there. I'm sorry, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, it's being talked about a lot up here in Boston, but
Right, yeah, that's okay.
As far as what to do about that, if you watch the replay right after Dupuis slashes Kelly, Kelly turns around and gives him the same thing right back. So, what do you do about something like that? And one of the corners I think Shanahan's painted himself into is linking these suspensions with whether a guy gets hurt or not. Because, that's basically spinning a roulette wheel. I mean, like Neil kicked Marchand in the head while he was laying on the ice. Marchand didn't get hurt. And, you could give somebody a clean hit, but the guy gets hurt and it's going to get you suspended. It really doesn't seem logical, at least to me.
My only other, and this doesn't come from the same game, but Kelly, I know you saw it. Paul, have you seen the FNUF hit?
I did. And FNUF has got a meeting with Shanahan coming up as well.
All right. Here's my question about Princess FNUF. And this is a general question. This brings up the point I'm trying to make is, I'll make the point after I say it. Do you think, unless he gets the rest of the season, it's going to make a dent in this dude's big, thick head that he can't do that?
FNUF?
Yeah.
I don't know. The ones like that where it's clear he's going after the guy on the board. Really? The day after everything, you're going to go for that hit? I mean, how stupid can you be? Especially for the Maple Leafs are spiraling out of control. He's the captain, and he's going to take himself out of at least five. I don't know how many games he'll be taken out for, but he's going to get suspended because he's an idiot.
Paul?
I can't say it any better. And what Kelly just said, FNUF's never been known for his smarts. And, the timing couldn't have been any worse for that. And, to picture the team out that you were playing, I mean, the spotlight was square on you, and you went and hit Doug Hamilton right between the 2 and the 7 in the back of his jersey. I'd like to think he's going to get about 5 games, but I'm not confident.
Here's the point, and this is why I wanted to get you on mainly, and Kelly, you guys, three of us can go about this. One of the things that I've brought up by the NHL side of it is they're talking about throwing ejections in if they fight. Fighting is not where the problem lies. That is
right. None of these events were a fight. They were all
right.
Cheap shots or extracurricular things. None of them involved a fight.
The point being, and I believe, I can't pronounce his name for Puck Daddy. Wisniewski. I apologize. If he hears this and he hears his name wrong, please, I apologize, sir. But he was saying relatively the same thing I was saying last night before I was reading reports, that you can take away fighting, and it's not going to take away the retaliatory actions of any player anywhere, i.e. the punching of the head while you're already lying on the ground. Or the another article on Puck Daddy was the same thing. You take the fighting, you have a big, huge stick in your hand that you start swinging around like a – who was it on the Maple Leafs that was doing that for a couple of games? It wasn't FNUF. It was the other guy.
Was that Kessel?
Kessel. Kessel was literally like a lumberjack taking a stick and swinging it like an axe at people and they were trying to take his head off.
Well, if I had John Scott coming at me, I may swing my stick at him too. So,
yeah, I mean, it's easy. John Scott tree. You can get confused. I understand.
I'm sorry. That was really funny to me. It's very true, though. You got a big guy. I mean, you got a big wall coming at you.
He is a freaking redwood on skates.
My point is everybody in the board, as they call it, I feel like it's an evil character in a wrestling show, is pointing their fingers at fighting. They got to get a handle on, I believe it's going to take a couple of years. They have to have a clear punishment, quote-unquote, technique for these things. You get 5 games, you do it again, 10. You do it again, 15. You keep adding games,
the
man.
The driving point system?
Yes.
Hmm.
You don't agree with that? You're allowed not to.
It's worth looking at.
There's something to the effect, and then, Paul, please, I'll get your opinion in a second. But something to the effect where, you know, you hit a guy, you get 5 games, and then 3 months go by, you hit a guy again, you get 5 more games. Hell no. Absolutely not. That's 10 games, and you got to do make-a-wish for a week and a half. You know what I'm saying? Something like that, you know, where you got to pay your dues. You're not playing. You're going to kids. You're going to hospitals. You're going to jails, community service, doing things. Fighting's not good.
Why would make the guys who did stupid hits go to jails?
You make Neil go to jail?
When you get to go see the kids and stuff, that's, I mean, it's a bad situation, but at least it's a happy situation. It's like, hey,
right,
here's a break from what's going on. At least send the jerks to the jails and let them get scared.
Or something to that effect. You can't call a guy on his bull crap, do 5 games, and then a year later do 5 games again, because then guess what he's going to do next season? Next season he's going to take a skate and cut somebody with 5 games.
Well, I think what Paul said is what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to step up the money that it costs these guys along with the games. But there's got to be something on top of salary.
Paul, your final words on this stuff in general.
Yeah, like you said, we talked about this. I think last time I talked to you all that the punishments aren't deterring the behavior. So you've got to step up the punishments in games and fines, like you said. And these players have got to start to respect each other. And right now, what you're seeing is just a total lack of respect for each other's safety.
I've got a question. I was wondering if you, Dan was talking about, you know, fighting not being the problem, and you had mentioned it too, fighting's not the problem. In this case, do you think if Orpik had fought with Thornton, like Thornton wanted him to after the hit on Erickson, do you think this might have been, not diffused, but just gone in a different way? There's a fight, and they would have both, well, Thornton would have gotten out of his system, and it would have been, that would have been the end of it.
I think that's what the prevailing opinion is. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it escalates into just, you know, a couple of line brawls and all, but that's a whole lot safer than what ended up happening.
Yeah, I was looking at the box score because, as Dan said, we didn't watch the game. So the Thornton roughing penalty on Orpik happens at 5:44 in the first period, and then the match penalty is at 11:06 of the first period. And I was thinking about it today, and I was making it like a personal thing where, like, something happens and you get so angry that you can't let something go. I've been there. It's usually when I'm driving. But I've been there where you just get so angry and you can't. Something just gets in your craw and you can't let it go. I was thinking that was Thornton was just, he was at his edge and he wanted Orpik and just couldn't get it out of his system. I'm really surprised that when he grabbed Orpik from behind and threw him on the ice that wasn't the moment where he was like, maybe I've taken this too far and I should stop. But I don't know that much about Thornton. Is he a tough guy? Is he a fighter? Or is he just kind of a antagonist player?
Oh, Thornton is 100% fighter, and his reputation has always been that you know, he does it the right way. He's never been suspended in the minors or in the NHL. And you know, for pound for pound, he's not one of these big guys like like John Scott. He's, you know, about 6'2", 225, and he's a pretty good fighter, pound for pound, maybe one of the better ones in the league. But I think what's at the core of this is this notion of the code, and it makes absolutely no sense to me that any time nowadays when you see a big hit, even if it's a clean one, immediately someone's coming after you to fight. I mean, hockey is supposed to be a physical game with checking and stuff, and hits are part of the game. And if you make a clean hit, I'm not saying what Orpik did was clean. I think he should be looking at a suspension for his hit on Erickson. But every time you see a big hit, you see a fight afterwards, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny to compare it to the video game, but I was playing around the other day, and it was a normal hit, and some dude came after me, and I ended up getting my ass kicked with that swinging a punch. And I was like, wait a second. It was a hit. He wasn't against the wall. He wasn't an open heist. It was a regular check. It wasn't from behind. And I got the worst end of it. I was like, that happens a lot. Like, watching the Flyers. That happens a lot.
I think it kind of has something to do with not every team has a goon anymore. Not every team has that designated tough guy anymore. I mean, there's usually a guy who takes up that mantle and will do the dirty work. But not every team has a John Scott or, you know, someone who's like there to drop the gloves kind of thing. And then you also have, because you've got 30 teams in the league now, you've usually got a line of guys who are so happy to be in the NHL. They are more than happy to jump out there and do that because they think it might earn them some points with the coach, with the organization, will earn them some ice time.
This extends into the game, the Stars Flyers game the same weekend. The first minute, Ronaldo gets in heat and starts beating up on, I forgot who it was.
Rousseau.
Yeah, Rousseau, yes. And what did he get? It was 9 minutes, but he got 22 minutes of penalties.
Hmm.
You're done for the week.
Yeah.
You have a week either back in the A or you practice. You don't play a line. And he's back on tonight, and he's tripped 4 times, and he's gotten nailed 5 times because the referees are watching his ass. There has to be a level of, even from Shanahan to the coaches, where he did something stupid. And it cost them that game, in my opinion. It took them right out of that game where they got beat 5-1.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of, you know what, especially the chief being your coach. You know what? You're done. Go. Bye.
Sit down. I think it's part of some of these guys are desperate to stay up, and they're willing to do that. And like Paul says, you don't have to do it after every big hit.
No.
Dirty hits, yes. Dirty plays, yes. But not after a big hit where your guy had his head down in the neutral zone. No. The fight is not the answer at that point.
The Flyers did it every time Lindros got hit. They would have never had anybody on the ice.
They would have been exhausted.
Paul, any final thoughts on this?
Let's see what ends up happening to Sean Thornton when he has his hearing with the Masters of Discipline. I'm thinking if I had the power of wielding the Shanahan, I would give him in Dale Hunter territory. I would give him 20 games minimum. But
yeah,
you know it's not going to happen.
You said the same thing, Kel.
I said the same thing after I saw it. That's the kind of hammer that maybe will get some attention.
Exactly.
But if you're going to do it to him, that hammer, that needs to be the hammer. You get what I'm saying? The Queen song, the hammer to fall. That if you're Sean Thornton or, you know, Sean Couturier on the Philadelphia Flyers, if you do something like that, Dale Hunter suspension. Bye-bye. See you later.
What'll be interesting, too, with the fallout for this will be whatever Thornton gets, if something like this happens later in the season, but it happens to a big name, does this kind of set the precedent, or is it based on salary? Because it's in the past it seemed too that the bigger the star, the you know the longer the suspension. Because if he had grabbed Crosby and thrown Crosby down,
he would be done. He would be Marty McSorley.
We're talking rest of the regular season at least, and maybe more.
What did he end up getting when he jumped Steve Moore from behind and drove him into the ice? I think he got like a season, didn't he?
We're checking on that.
I want to say he was out the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I don't think what Thornton did was as bad, but you know it's in that neighborhood.
It gets down to, I believe you're, there, we got it already. I was going to stretch, but, you want me to? It gets down to exactly as you're saying. If it hits a guy like, you know, Mike Smith versus a Sidney Crosby, which I can only dream, that's where the punishment lies. And I think that's wrong, too. If you hit a guy on the fourth line and kill him, or if you hit Sidney Crosby on the first line and kill him, it should be 20 games, 20 games, 10 games, 10 games, whatever the punishment should be. Go ahead, Kel, you got it?
They suspended Bertuzzi the rest of the regular season, which wound up being 13 games. And then the Canucks were additionally fined $250,000.
Right, that's because the coach put a bounty on Moore's head. That's what that was all about.
Oh, that's right. I remember. He opened his big mouth.
Yeah.
See?
Mark Crawford.
But see, now that...
The
other way around.
Who the heck was the? I don't know.
Bill Smith. Was it not McCall? He's the owner. Who was the coach? Paul, help me.
I was thinking it was Mark Crawford.
And he would. Maybe he was. That's right. Because he was the Avalanche coach, but then he went to Vancouver. I can't find it in the.
And then, Paul, I'm going to let you go in a second and take up more of your time here.
You got to get back to some happy hockey, too.
Happy hockey. You can stay on for some happy hockey, but I figured, you would want to watch some hockey.
The only game on is Pittsburgh, so I'm all set with that.
Why would you bother? Sorry, guys. Here's my final thing on this, and then I'll let you get some plugged in. The ball is now in the court of the Players Association and the NHL to come together and stop being babies about everything like they are usually, like the strike and the lockout and all that, and be like, you know what, we need to come up with something, because eventually it's going to kill the game. You get enough people hurt, there won't be enough people skating. There needs to be, whether you're making $400 million a year or whether you're making $700,000 on the bench, if you do something that bad, there needs to be a set. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but you can't go after the fighting. The fighting has not been an issue in all but one of these things we talked about, which was the Braden Holtby, Ray Thug, Emery fight. Excuse me.
Well, someone brought up a point with that, which was a really good point, that how they're going after Thornton on the fact that Orpik had been taken out and was unable to respond to the
it wasn't a fight.
How come no one could find that rule
with Holtby?
Yeah,
because Holtby was still conscious and smiling after. He could have turned around and go, you know what? No,
no, he couldn't.
No, I know, he's such a cute boy. But it lies. It might take a couple years, and I think actually I think Shanahan's the right guy to do it. Come up with something. It'll take a couple years, but you're not dying tomorrow. You know, you got a couple years to go, Shanahan. You got enough time to get in there with both sides and make up something cohesive, at least an outline to go off of, instead of letting Bettman go after fighting.
I don't know. I haven't really heard the fighting stuff.
I see it a lot, and it's starting to make me nervous.
And it was Mark Crawford.
It was
the coach.
That's it. Kill him.
Yeah.
Paul, since I bothered you, please take a couple of minutes, plug away on the site and everything again, sir.
Oh, go ahead. You can read my work and work of many, many other talented people on StadiumJourney.com or follow us on Twitter at StadiumJourney. Or if you like, you can just follow me and the heck with everybody else at PuckmanRI. Oh.
And I know that Stadium Journey just put out a call to several areas, including Baltimore and I believe Montreal was another one, for contributing writers in those areas. So if you're listening, under the sound of my voice, go to StadiumJourney.com and contact them if you're interested in a writing gig. Not New England, that's covered by Mr. Baker here.
That's right.
And then some, yes.
Yes.
But, yeah, and you know what, I can't say enough about the team. The executive team here at Stadium Journey, they're fantastic people to work with, and it's a lot of fun.
And I want to thank you very much for, on such short notice, coming back on here. You're the first person I thought of when it was in Boston. I was like, I got to hear what Paul has to say, because Paul will give me an unbiased, non-Philly opinion on something, especially on his team.
Which is good, because we need non-Philly opinions.
Because if it was Philly, I'd be like, no, he didn't do anything wrong. So what if he was knocked out? What? But, Paul, I thank you for your time. I'm going to let you go, and we will get in touch with you again, and we'll do another around the rink in the next couple months, sir.
Because I want
to
talk
about... All right, anytime. I'm glad to be here.
I'd love to talk to
you. Enjoy your happy
so.
Hockey talk.
Yes, we're going to have happy hockey talk, get you out of here and stop being miserable. Paul, and next time we're going to specifically talk about college hockey, too, sir.
Yeah, after you get a few more games under your belt, we can talk college hockey.
Oh, just visited Yale this past weekend. What a fantastic place to watch a game. Recommend it to anyone.
StadiumJourney.com for his review.
Awesome. I saw the link. I was like, ooh, but I didn't have a chance to read it, so I'll read it after the show.
Paul Baker, StadiumJourney.com, thank you again. Have a good night, sir.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks. Same to you both.
And as soon as this went down, I was like, I got to contact him and get him on here because, like I said, he would be the first guy to, like, you know, this is what happened. And he was on Twitter saying, you might be surprised what I have to say. And I was when he said that Thornton was unjustified.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. But, like I said, when I was thinking about it, I have a feeling that I know somewhat where Thornton was, that he got it in his brain that he wanted to punch that guy in the face, and he wouldn't, you know, Orpik wouldn't play along, and he just lost it and lost his mind.
I've been with you in that car when I've had to buckle your seatbelt back on, stop you from killing the person in the van.
Yeah, see, but he was out on, you know, they kept running into each other on the ice. I would imagine it's really hard to overcome that.
I don't know. We've driven up 95, and there's been a car that's cut me off. I keep seeing, like, I'm going to ram him. This is it. I'm going to do it this time. Not my pretty new car, though. actually, we spent more time on that than I wanted to, but it wasn't a one-sided Dan flip-out conversation, so I appreciate Paul for evening that out. It went exactly the way I was hoping, and again, I think it's up to the league to do the right thing and not focus on one thing. You need to focus on the players and exactly what Paul said, respect. Because every year, the line of code, as he says, keeps getting broken. And it is to the point now where if you sneeze on a guy, Simmons or somebody's going to come after you and start punching in the face. And that's not cool anymore. Little mystery men. We're going to take a little drink. We're going to listen to the IC Flapjack Bunker. Ah, that's a mouthful.
What was that again?
It's the Smith song. It's Mystery Men on By the Puck. We'll be right back here right after this. Yeah, Mystery Man.
Funky.
Yeah, Obey the Puck Show.
Yeah.
I was going to make up numbers, but can't think of anything. I knew we were going to talk about Happy Hockey Talk, but I wanted to get this out of the way. This is kind of happy, kind of disgusting, but it is happy because he's not dead.
Yes.
And this is in the same, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Dang it. The same vein as, oh, I said vein. Oh, that's not funny. I didn't mean to do that. Millar, Chuck, and Zednik. I'm sorry. That wasn't nice. There was a Quebec Minor League player. I'm posting it on Twitter not now.
Actually, Senior League.
I'm glad you're here. Go to Obey Puck Show on Twitter or facebook.com/group/Obey the Puck. There's a link to this with a graphic warning because the side of his face gets cut open by skate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cut dry or it's, there's a picture. You see the side of his cheek open up. And it's at least 4 or 5 inches long and at least an inch wide, this cut.
Yep.
The reason I say it's good is because it, about 3 inches lower, it would have been his neck, and it would have been a Millar, Chuck, or a Zednik cut.
Yeah.
But it did happen in the middle of a scrum in the early part of the game, and I think he was on the ground, and the skate went over him. One of the players that was scuffling nearby sliced his cheek open. What's his first name? His brother was, oh, Sebastian. Sebastian
Korsev?
Sure. His brother Simon escorted him as fast as he could off the ice on his feet. If that was me, like this picture I can look at, you got no problem. You cut myself open, I'm out, shocked, down on the ground. If it's my finger open, break my finger open, I'm in shock.
Mm-hmm.
I slammed my door open once in a garage door between the living room and the garage door at my dad's house, and he told me to sit down before you pass out, you pansy. Because I was turning ghost white, and it was in the old metal door frame, so it was a nice cut. It was a nice cut. But I'm just going, I need help. He's like, sit down. It's okay.
Sit down before you fall down and knock yourself out and give yourself a concussion, which will be far worse in the long run.
But he's not going to... Obviously, because it wasn't his neck, he's not going to...
Yeah, I mean, it's scary that seeing that picture, my first reaction was, well, thank goodness, at least it wasn't lower. And that's only because we've seen these, you know, terrible, terrible cuts before, and it's been, you know, far worse. It's going to be a terrible scar, but at least he'll be able...
So you get the ladies...
You'll be okay with it. Yeah.
And ladies.
That's a heck of a scar for chicks to
Let me tell you something. These were the skates.
That's a tough league.
Your boyfriend is not a real man.
The Quebec Senior League. That's where the goons go to play out their days
apparently.
In Quebec.
Yeah,
everybody goes there eventually. Any of the tough guys go there eventually. Which is interesting because the Quebec Junior League is kind of the offense league. It's all about scoring and there's not, I mean, there's fighting and stuff like that, but there's not, it's not that focus on that, whereas like the Western Hockey League is more about the tough guys and the fighters.
Right.
But the Quebec Senior League is all about the bloodshed and the thugs.
He looks like he's been around, well, he's been active since, he's been in the league, he's been in hockey since 2000.
Oh, yeah. All the French-Canadian guys go home. Not all of them, but a lot of them go home, and they wind up playing in the it's the LNAH, the Ligue North American de Hockey. North American League of Hockey, but they abbreviate it LNAH.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Canadian weird dopes. Anyway.
It's Quebec. It's French word. It's backwards.
It's Quebec, yeah. I have looked before... During, and I have not been able to get an update, the original article was stating they did not know if they could just patch it up or if he was going to have surgery. I'm no doctor. I'm seeing surgery in this one.
Mm. It depend on how deep it went. Hopefully it was something that they could, that could be fixed with stitches.
But I haven't been able to get a... an update on it, and I looked right now, and I still can't get an update on it. So I will look again, and either post on the page or on the Twitter an update, but hopefully he's okay. If we know hockey players, he'll be playing next year at least.
No, he's probably in the next game, as long as it didn't require surgery.
That one, even I'm like thinking he'd take a day or two.
You have to get the full cage on the
cage. I better have a knight's armor on my face.
Steel with the feather.
Because if you open that back up, you're looking at like serious life-threatening infection. That's the only reason why I'm saying that. You got to give that man a couple days before he goes back on the ice.
I don't know. In that league, they're probably calling you out if you take the next game off. There's some tough guys in that league.
Meanwhile, he's going, you know?
Bite me.
It's bad. So please look at that. And please, you know, be in fear with me. You have some news you want to talk about.
Happy hockey.
Happy hockey.
Happy hockey. The Central Hockey League has announced that they will expand by two teams by the 14-15 season, which is pretty cool. More hockey teams is always a good thing.
Give us a short background on the CHL and where the new teams are going to be.
Well, this CHL is the U.S. CHL. It's the Central Hockey League. It's double A level. It's kind of like the ECHL. I mean, there's been a debate for a long time if the ECHL is the more superior or whatever, but it's about double A level. They do have affiliations with some NHL teams. In 2013, they actually went from – the interesting part about the league was there was a Central Hockey League back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and then they brought it back. It's not the same league. It's just that they brought back the name. They brought it back in 1992. They brought up a new Central Hockey League. And the idea behind that was actually it's focused on the center of the U.S., so it's mostly Midwestern teams.
Yeah.
But it was centralized ownership. So the league owned all of the teams.
Oh.
Kind of like how the MLS started up when the soccer league started up. The league owned all the teams, and then, you know, you had owners
gotcha.
And stuff like that. But in 2013, now the franchises own the league, so the owners of the individual teams now own the league, which is an interesting way to run your hockey league. But it's worked for them. They've been around since 92. They grew pretty big, like a lot of the minor leagues in the mid-90s, they got kind of crazy with expansion, and they were absorbing teams from other leagues as those leagues died.
Yeah, they have a mortgage business.
Right now they're at 10 teams, but those 10 teams have been around for quite some time. They do have two new teams this year. They have the St. Charles Chill.
Yeah.
And the Brampton Beast, which is
those are awesome names,
which
man.
Is really weird, just because Brampton, we're talking Brampton, Ontario, where they used to have a junior hockey team, and now they have a Central Hockey League team. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, so they're going to bring two new teams in. No word yet on
where.
I was reading through some tweets on Saturday night. I think they made a big deal about
hold
announcing
on, folks. Hold on. Say that again. You were doing what?
I was reading some tweets.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
I've made that leap forward. Well, that's what I do now when I watch a hockey
easy,
game. And I have to type.
When you're doing a live game, though, it's easy to keep up on news. I mean, how many times did you see the guy's face open?
I saw that. I saw the cut to the face way too many times while I was watching the hockey game.
Good. I'm sorry.
It's terrible. Oh, the one rumor I did hear for where they might put a franchise was Casper, Wyoming. So... that's
there's nothing
cool.
there.
Well, it's Wyoming, so yeah. But just I'm very excited that it could be Casper because they could be
don't
the
say
ghost.
The ghost.
They could be the ghost. Yay!
The friendly ghost.
The friendly ghost.
We only play like Mormons here.
That'll go well.
yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. That means more schedules to collect. I'm all about that.
You have a little more experience, obviously, as a hockey fan. Won't say why, you just do. Does it seem like there is a bigger boom in expansions recently, the last couple of years?
No, not
I
really.
Remember, I don't recall this. I when I was ever, before, you know, being connected to a hockey fan like you and hearing about all these leagues I didn't know existed or breathed, I heard of more minor league teams dying than expanding. So it seems to me that we seem to be in a boom. Like, does it, I'm going to use the wrestling example. Does it have moments other than the NHL where it goes up and then down and then up and then down? And then, or is it kind of up and then here, then three here, gone, four here, then three here, gone, and two here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The 90s were crazy in the minor league ranks.
Atlantic City had a team.
Exactly. Atlantic City had a hockey team. It was one of those things where kind of the ECHL not jumped on the scene in 88, but they started in 88 with a pretty solid business model, and there were plenty of southern towns that had rinks that had had teams in the 70s and had had some success, and there were people who remembered those teams and were willing to give hockey another shot. And they had some huge successes down south. I mean, Lafayette, Louisiana.
I'm so shocked that it's south.
Yeah, Lafayette, Louisiana was drawing, 12, 13,000 people a game. Birmingham, Alabama, all these teams did really well attendance-wise. So every year when they would offer up expansion franchises, people were jumping on board thinking, they were going to just print money. And what happened was the places where they built it right, and they actually had a fan base, they did quite well for some period of time, but then it kind of, as it usually does, a boom goes bust. and you lost a lot of teams very quickly over the course of two or three years. I think the ECHL at one point was 25 teams, and then it went back down something much more reasonable, maybe 14 or 16 or something like that.
There's like 14, 13 right now, something like that.
Yeah, there were a lot of teams that just were one-year teams.
It reminds me, part of this question, because I thought of this, because we've talked about it briefly, and I've purposely cut the conversation first to talk about it here. I remember years ago, it's at least 10 now, where this whole big deal about the WHA was getting reformed, quote unquote.
Right.
And then it fills it out before it even foamed.
There's some of those.
For those who don't know, WHA was another professional – WHA was another professional hockey league.
Yes.
In the 70s. It started in the 60s, right?
70s.
It was only in the
70s? Yep, 72.
I was going to say 71, 72. That didn't make it out of the 70s.
Nope.
And
almost.
A couple of them did. One of those teams being, if you don't know, the Edmonton Oilers and Wayne Gretzky. Who else? Help me here.
The Whale.
The Jets and the Whale. I always forget, but it was the New England Whalers.
Ha! Well, no, at that point, they were
It was Hartford.
Hartford.
It was the Hartford Whalers at
it
that
was
point.
Hartford.
Yes.
Yes.
So in the early 2000s, the early aughts, as they say, I heard, it's coming back. It's going to be, little did I know that it's not going to be anywhere like the professional, because this was two professional league teams. They were the ones that first came out with million-dollar contracts, Gordie Howe.
Well, wasn't million-dollar contracts wasn't really the big thing. What the WHA did that every current player needs to thank the WHA for is the fact that they opened the bidding war, and they would draft underage players.
That's right. Yes.
And that's really what the WHA brought to hockey. I mean, you can make the case for. What they did in Winnipeg with Bobby Hull, and when they brought over the Swedish players, and they kind of invented a whole new run and gun style of hockey that we
changed the game a little bit.
Don't get to see anymore.
Yeah.
But that was that's what the original WHA brought. The WHA 2
just when you stick the 2 on there
did not bring that.
It just fizzled out, boogaloo. No, there's this big. There was this whole thing behind it about, remember of course I don't remember the 70s, but you heard the stories and we're going to have another league. And then it wasn't even a minor league team.
I think it lasted two seasons.
Oh, they played?
They did play.
Interesting.
They did play, and a lot of those teams are, well, those teams are still going. I need to look at my my list of the original WHA 2 teams, but it was Jacksonville and Pensacola, and I want to say Huntsville was in there, and a lot of these teams still exist in the Southern
you.
Professional
Thank
population.
You for cable internet. 2003, it was a season.
Oh, it was a season.
It was six teams, yeah, okay. Because it was the Jacksonville Barracudas, the Alabama Slammers, the Macon Tracks,
yep.
Orlando Seals, the Miami Manatees, and the Lakeland Loggerheads.
Yep. All teams that have had various... all areas that have had various teams over the years.
I mean, were they trying to build on the WHA name to get a little jump start, these owners?
I have no idea what their plans. Ugh. I don't know what their plans for world domination were. it didn't work out that well for them.
the Barracudas were the only champions.
Miami, I don't think, finished the season, actually. So, but a lot of those teams moved into the, I believe it was called the Atlantic Coast Hockey League, which was another reborn hockey league, and then that became the Southern Professional Hockey League.
So they're not even around anymore.
No, that was a 1 or 2 year thing too. That's how that stuff happens. For some reason, that's how it always happens in
the fire ants. They're still around.
Cape Fear Fire Ants,
yes.
Who are now the Fayetteville Fire Ants, but same exact place. It's same team, same arena.
What league is it now? Southern Professional Hockey League.
Yep. Same logo.
You know,
that's important.
That is important. Yes, the big red ant with a stick shoved up your face.
The fire ants do have an interesting innovation. As far as I know, this was the case when they were the Cape Fear Fire Ants. They actually have two mascots, a good mascot and an evil mascot. So there you go. Don't ever say
it's a good ant and a bad ant.
Exactly.
Ant and spider. Is it really?
Two ants, yes. they are innovators.
Now, one last thing, because I know you love logos. You mentioned this in passing the other day, and I keep going to the website laughing at this logo. Indianapolis is getting a team. Indianapolis, Indiana, is getting was it ECHL?
Yep, ECHL.
Which Jim Jackson still thinks is the ECHL's hockey league.
But
I love Jim.
That's all right.
They're getting a new team called the Fuel. It sounds great. Indianapolis 500, have a racing
motif.
What a piss poor logo.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
It leaves a lot to.
I do like the Indy Fuel, though.
I think it's a really, really strong name. Yeah, I just wish they had worked with a different designer on the logo.
My sister.
Which
that's
is
seven.
No, that's interesting because the ECHL, they lost Trenton this year. So they're a team down this year, but then they're going to add Indy to bump the number back up for the 14-15 season.
15,
so. Not bad. That's what the point I was going to make way back when we got off on a tangent was the minor leagues in general have been pretty solid for the last couple of years. There's been a team here and a team there, but nothing like what was going on in the mid-90s and the early 2000s because it was crazy there for a while. But the leagues have been really solid. They've condensed down to probably their smallest point, and now that I think they've all realized what they need to do to have franchises that stick around for the long haul.
This ties into, I'm going to make it a monthly segment since I forgot to do it any show last month, random arena trivia. The Indiana State Fairgrounds Coliseum, name hockey teams.
Oh, at the Coliseum? Uh-huh. The Checkers? The Ice?
Yes. Well, there's two. There's the Indianapolis Ice and there is the Indiana Ice.
Oh, well, the Indiana Ice still play there in the USHL.
Oh.
The junior team. Yeah,
the junior team.
Indianapolis Ice was in the, they were in the IHL, and then they were in the Central Hockey League, I believe.
And the Capitals before the Washington Capitals.
Did,
I did not know that.
I didn't know that the Capitals played.
You knew those Capitals.
I did. I actually have a schedule from them. They're very old.
The Indianapolis Capitals, which won the Calder Cup in 42 and 50.
Yep.
Played at what is now called the Pepsi Coliseum, which is another thing that we always talk about, arenas.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go to an arena, and for the first period, because you like we both like the architecture, we just like the look of arenas. We'll walk around the arena before we watch the game. And who do they beat in 41?
Hershey. Hey, at least we were there.
We were there in the 40s. Ramblers.
Yeah, but, I mean, we were in the finals.
We won in the 40s.
Okay.
For the Angry Spatula. First of all, thank you for joining us again. And for anybody listening, if you know anybody else who's a hockey fan, tell them to go to the website, either HIACTalkRadio.com or go right to the group page, Facebook.com/group/obeythepuck. We're just two fans that like to talk hockey and would like somebody to talk hockey with us. We got Paul. We have one friend.
We made a friend. Yay!
We would like more friends.
And if you like going to sporting events, get in touch with the people at StadiumJourney.com. They want to let you write about going to arenas and seeing sports and stuff.
How easy is that?
Bathroom sucked,
food sucked.
I don't think it can get any better because you have that conversation anyway when you're there, so yeah. Why not just write it down and share it with people?
You can follow us, which is very heavy, surprisingly, because Kelly has gotten into the Twitter thing. Follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show.
I'm there every – well, not every, but almost every Caps game.
If she's not doing it, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah, so he'll cover a Flyers game for a live tweet session, and I'll do the Caps game for a live tweet session.
Follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83. Once again, it's HIACTalkRadio.com to follow everybody on the HIAC radio network. You got Moose Knuckle Radio Tuesdays at 9:30. You got, are you doing a Moose Knuckle?
I was trying to do, I don't know what Moose Knuckles would look like.
This.
Knuckles with the antlers.
Follow Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Wednesdays at 9, the flagship. And this Saturday, me and the kind of okay Harry Barnett will be doing What's Wrong with Wrestling Weekend Edition. I believe it's at 5 or 5.30 p.m. I cannot remember right now.
England time?
No, Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, good. American time.
Yeah, no, I don't wake up for him. He wakes up for me. For the Angry Metal Spatula, I am the Above Average Uranian, Dan Colachico. We will see you next Monday at 9. Everybody have a good night.
Happy hockey.
Murphy starts the rush. He hits Hunter. He's in alone.